Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today, I want to welcome Dr. Jeff Orge to the podcast. Dr. Orge is the president of Gateway Seminary in Ontario, California. He also teaches leadership, preaching, and church ministry courses at Gateway. He's the author of many books, several of which are on leadership. Dr. Orge, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Hey, thank you, Dr. Allen. Good to be here.
Yeah, good to have you on campus. Dr. Orge, of course, is a colleague serving as president of one of the six Southern Baptist seminaries and also is an alumnus of Midwestern Seminary. And when did you graduate?
I graduated in 1984 while I was a pastor living in this area. Seems like just a few days ago, but it's been a while now.
Yeah, so tell us here before we get into really the topic of the podcast today, give us an update on Gateway. Obviously, those listening to this podcast, most all would know you guys have underwent a little transition in recent years.
We were for many years Golden Gate Seminary, but in 2014, we announced a major relocation, which we completed in 2016. We moved from the San Francisco area to the greater Los Angeles area and built a new campus in Ontario, California, and then built a secondary campus in Fremont, California, so we can retain our presence in the Bay Area. And as a part of all of that, renamed ourselves Gateway Seminary of the Southern Baptist Convention. So lots of change, lots of progress, lots of good times happening for us.
Well, congratulations on the successful relocation and the beautiful facilities you have there. And thank you for your faithfulness to Southern Baptist, especially on that part of the continent. So we're here today to talk about leadership, and I've entitled the podcast, The Preacher and Leadership. And so before we begin to dial in on leadership in a local church and leading as a pastor, I guess I would be curious, I know our listeners would be curious as well, the category of leadership, when did that become a particular interest of yours? You speak on it often, you've written on it much. Give us a little bit of a narrative as to what shaped you in your understanding of leadership.
When I first started working in a church staff situation while I was in college, some of the pastors who mentored me gave me leadership books to read and started talking with me in more general terms about leadership. So I suppose that was the introduction to the idea. But then in the mid-1990s, I made a fairly significant change of ministry direction. I had been a pastor and church planter and was then asked to become the executive director of the Northwest Baptist Convention. And in that time in the mid-90s, Dr. Bill Cruz, who was then the president of Gateway Seminary or Golden Gate back then, started sending me leadership resources and encouraging me to read and to think more broadly about leadership issues. And so I started thinking about it more intensely then. And so during the 90s, I probably read a couple of hundred books on leadership, and I'm talking about everything from some pretty heavy academic stuff to stuff you pick up in airport bookstores, the whole range of what was being written at that time. And that really started me thinking more intensely about the issue. And then what started crystallizing it in terms of teaching and writing was I was asked to be a professor in the Doctor of Ministry program at Golden Gate Seminary, now Gateway. And that forced me to start writing, starting writing lectures and developing material and really having to put into some cogent thought and some written form what I really believed and what I really wanted to teach. So that's sort of the progress of how I got from church planting pastor to writer and speaker on leadership issues.
And so you've led beyond family and other previous life contexts. In your public ministry, you've led really in three different areas, right? Local church ministry, you led at the state convention level, and now obviously at the seminary level. I guess just, again, thinking at the broad level about leadership, how do those three different contexts, how are they similar or dissimilar as it relates to leadership?
Well, there's a lot of similarities. Leadership is an influence relationship, and that involves all kinds of settings that you've just described. Leadership is about casting vision, about clarifying mission, about developing strategy to accomplish what needs to be done. And so in all of those different contexts, some of the same core principles have applied. What makes them unique is that in every organization or every kind of organization, a leader has to be able to diagnose the challenges he or she's facing, the opportunities that are available, and then to create a customized strategic response in that setting. And quite honestly, what's required of a pastoral leader is very different than what's required of a denomination leader, which is very different from what's required of a seminary leader, because you're in different governing structures, you're responding to different constituencies, you have different methods of influence. Honestly, also, I've changed over my lifetime. I've gained greater credibility, I think, as I've led for longer. So that changes the dynamic of what I have to do to get something accomplished in an organization. So while there's some similarities in terms of key principles that can be applied, really being a diagnostician and being able to understand the context and setting and the kind of organization you're leading really does make a difference in terms of how you choose your leader style in the moment or in the situation.
Yeah, I want to go back to something you just mentioned. You used the word credibility and having accumulated that over the years. I remember my first church I was pastoring, 25 years old, first year Master of Divinity student, and in meetings with lay leaders and with deacons, and just coming to the realization, look, I don't have gray hair. I haven't been doing this for 20 years. I don't have, you know, letters after my name. And I feel like I just had to kind of talk my way out of everything because I didn't show up with any credibility in the room based upon my experience or what I accomplished or anything. It was just kind of like me and my ideas. Right. And credibility is an essential part of leadership, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And in fact, what you've said about young leaders is you really do have to earn credibility. And there's several ways that can be done through service and through competence and through experience of leading effectively in smaller projects. You then have opportunity to lead in larger ones. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to do this. But what is significant is that the longer you lead, you have a kind of an accumulated credibility that becomes part of who you are. I sometimes call this a presumed competence people have about you. For example, when I left the state executive role and became the president of the seminary, a number of people at the seminary had known me for years and worked with me in different contexts. But when I arrived, and so when I arrived there, they told their faculty colleagues and staff colleagues, "This is a person we can trust. He's led effectively in the past. He'll lead us effectively as well." And so while I still had to prove myself in the moment to them, I was doing so in the context of, and really, if you will, on a kind of a groundswell of my life's credibility up until that moment. So when I got there, the attitude wasn't like it was when I was a young pastor, as you described for yourself. When I was a young pastor, people looked at me and said, "Well, does he really know what he's talking about?" Now, when I've been doing this for 25 years and I came to the seminary, they said, "Well, we kind of assume he knows what he's doing. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt and until he proves otherwise." And so you do have this sense as you lead for longer that you do have a greater credibility and people do give you a bit of deference in that. You can still lose that, but you don't have to gain it so much, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure. So let's think about leadership in local church ministry. So let's say a critic's listening to our conversation today, and he gets, you know, preaching and preachers. He gets the typical genre of our conversations in here on exegesis and pastoral ministry and so forth. But maybe he's saying, "Yeah, you know, I want to preach. I don't want to think too much about leadership." What would you say to the critic or to the skeptic that wonders how intentionally elders, pastors should be thinking about leadership anyway?
A very prominent pastor recently asked the question, is pastoral ministry leading or teaching? And is it leaders who teach or teachers who lead? And he said, it's leaders who teach. And I think I agree with that statement, because when you are a preaching pastor, you have an incredible opportunity of leadership that comes through the preaching of the Word of God and the capacity to shape the thinking of an organization, in this case a church, and to shape their thinking and their perspective and their strategy by what you communicate to them from the Word of God. And so I think that pastors must think of themselves as leaders who have as a primary opportunity for leadership bringing influence through the preaching of the Word of God and through shaping people by that preaching. I don't really know how, if I were a pastor today, that I could lead a congregation that I couldn't speak to on a regular basis and shape their thinking by what I had to say to them. In fact, for what you and I do now, one of the problems we have in our leadership roles is that we typically don't have the same audience each week when we speak or the same crowd that we talk to, and so we have to influence by other means. And one of the best things about pastoral preaching is the opportunity to bring influence in preaching to shape the thinking, perspective, strategies, and attitudes of the people you're trying to lead. I think pastoral ministry is being a leader who teaches, but I think you can't really lead as effectively as you might think if you aren't also a good teacher, preacher, communicator who can move people by that means to where you really want them to go.
That's good. So you're thinking about leadership in the local church in really two different areas. One, leading the ministry staff that's entrusted to you. The other, leading the church as a whole. How are those responsibilities similar or different?
Well, for many pastors, most of the people they lead are church people, are volunteers who work in various leadership capacities, et cetera. And so I think that that pastors should work really hard on learning how to lead volunteers, shape, motivate, reward, and build a team of people who are not necessarily paid staff and reporting to them in that capacity. So I don't want to diminish the need for most pastors to learn how to do that really effectively and well. On the other hand, as you said, some pastors do have various kinds of staff persons that they supervise. There's some differences between these. Certainly, when you employ someone, both legally and in some ways ethically, your responsibility changes to them in that they are now an employee more than they are just a member or just a supporter of what you do. And so I recognize some of those. But I want to give you an idea that might help the listeners to think of this in a different perspective. A number of years ago, I concluded that every person who works for me, even in an employment capacity, is still a volunteer. They can all leave. Now, you may say, well, they need to stay because they need the check or they need the position or they need their family to be cared for. I understand that. There's much, perhaps, pressure to keep them from leaving. But at the bottom line, every person who's employed in a ministry context is there because they've volunteered to take on that or they've agreed to take on that role. The reason I say that is because I started trying a number of years ago to treat everyone around me like a volunteer, meaning that I try to be kind and supportive and offer rewards and verbal praise and to do the things even for employees that I found myself often doing for church members and volunteer leaders in churches, and to see that every person around me is not working with me or for me out of duty or obligation, but really because they volunteered to join the mission that I'm leading and the organization that I'm trying to direct. So I would challenge pastoral leaders to think of everyone who's around them as a volunteer and to relate to them in that kind of supportive, affirming, positive kind of way, recognizing that, yes, with employees, there are both legal and ethical responsibilities that you have, and you have to honor those. But if you'll have as an undergirding attitude toward that person, you know, they're really a volunteer, they really are here because they want to be, then I think that changes some of the perspective of how we treat them.
So let's think about pastors, specifically in the local church. What are some negative leadership traits that perhaps you've seen and you would encourage pastors to avoid?
The most troubling negative leadership quality I see in pastors is insecurity. When a pastor is insecure, he finds himself lashing out when people disagree with him. When a pastor is insecure, he's unable to manage conflict well because he personalizes it, wondering why everyone's against him. When a pastor is insecure, he will be afraid to stand courageously on doctrinal or moral issues because of what it might cost him personally or how people might not like him or might not want to relate to him. So after establishing a platform of integrity in leadership, I think the second most important quality that a pastoral leader needs to have is personal security. That you come to understand that in Jesus Christ you are eternally secure, meaning you're as secure today as you'll ever be. And in that secure relationship, you can lead with a confidence that reflects both humility and boldness melded together in a way that comes only really out of security. So, you know, I've written about this and talked a good deal about it, but the doctrine of the security of the believer is not just a what happens to me when I die doctrine. It's really a doctrine for today and for leadership today, because if you can come to understand that you are as secure in Jesus Christ in this moment as you will ever be at any time in your future, then it will change the way you lead because you'll have a personal security about yourself that really reflects the confidence you have in relationship with Him.
So the other side of the coin of that question, and maybe you've already alluded to some degree, but what are some positive leadership traits that you would encourage pastors to pursue?
Well, as I said, the first one is integrity. Simply lining up what you believe with what you do and who you are. The word integrity comes from a word which means integer or whole number, and the root meaning of integrity is wholeness. It means you're one person, you're not divided. What you believe, what you do, and who you are the same. And so that's the first really positive quality I'm looking for. A second one, as I mentioned, is security. And then a third one that really grows out of the first two is humility. The Bible talks a great deal about how much God values the humble. And yet, this is a difficult concept because some people relate humility with self-abasement, and the Bible never does that. But humility is really accurate self-appraisal, seeing yourself for who you really are in the context of who God is over you as Lord and Master, and yet at the same time valuing what He's given you in terms of gifts and opportunities and holding that in tension and in balance. So for me, I look for integrity and security and humility as sort of the chief qualities I'm looking for in leaders that I'm selecting for my team.
Jeff, let's pause right here for a word of update from Midwestern Seminary.
Midwestern Seminary's 81-hour Master of Divinity degree prepares you for ministry today and tomorrow. Midwestern Seminary's flagship degree program is our primary track for ministry preparation. Requiring only 81 credit hours, the MDiv program is an efficient option for students, equipping them to serve the church in pastoral ministry. Residential students will be trained in a unique community environment passionately focused on the local church. Online students can earn the full degree without leaving their current ministry context. Come be a part of one of the fastest growing seminaries in North America as we develop a new culture of discipleship devoted to the local church and committed to taking God's unchanging word into a rapidly changing world. Visit mbts.edu/mdiv today.
All right, I'm back with Dr. Jeff Orch talking about the preacher and leadership. You know, I travel a fair amount, as you do. We interact with different religious leaders, different leaders in community bond, even local church. And I'm often struck by how many individuals I meet who are in significant leadership roles who seem to be temperamentally ill-suited for it.
Right.
And I'm always amazed, like, how are you leading that church? How are you leading that organization? How are you leading that ministry with your personal makeup? Do you see that as well?
I do, and I think that it speaks to those of us who train ministry leaders that we have to address not only the professional competencies a leader needs, but also the personal growth they need to be ready to lead. There are simply aspects of personality, about aspects of relational skills, aspects of interpersonal relationships, and how we see ourselves in relationship to others is what I'm trying to say. These are things that have to be addressed and help people have to be helped to grow through so that they might really have the personal wholeness they need to be in ministry leadership. And part of that also is having a good view, a good and honest view of yourself and who you are and who God made you to be. That doesn't puff you up and make you more than you are, but also doesn't demean you into less than God made you to be. And so helping people to come to a kind of a personal wholeness where they have a good sense of humor, a good sense of life, a good sense of perspective is a very important part of training leaders. And when you and I see people that are struggling with these issues, it really undermines their effectiveness. No matter how good of a preacher they may be, if these things are detrimental, it can undermine anything that they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, and I think, again, what you've already touched on, the issue of insecurity is huge. I mean, so often that shows up in poor leaders. They're paranoid, they're even neurotic, perhaps, and they're just insecure, and they go off on people. They always lead out of fear and, you know, afraid someone's getting over on them or taking advantage of them. It creates a horrible culture in the organization.
Absolutely, and solving that problem really is something that has to be done on a personal basis and a spiritual basis, and really isn't going to be able to be overcome by any amount of leadership training on the skill side if they're constantly undermining what they're trying to accomplish with these interpersonal issues.
So let's say listening today is a pastor who's following us. He's appreciating the value of leadership, mm-hmm. and he's asking himself, "Am I an effective leader?" What would you say to pastors, especially to those in ministry positions? How would you help them to evaluate their effectiveness as a leader?
Well, the first way to evaluate your effectiveness is, do you feel that you are leading in a way that is really pleasing to God? We're Christian leaders. We're not evaluating ourselves by secular standards or by a secular matrix. We ask ourselves, are we spiritual leaders leading in the way that God would want us to lead? In part of one of my books, I describe sort of the threefold aspect of what I think makes leadership distinctly Christian. And I talk about that it's the motive is love for God and people, and the attitude is humility, and the means is service. Now, there's much more that can be said about Christian leadership than those three things, but I was trying to say what makes leadership distinctly Christian. Well, it's love for God and people, humility, and service. If you have those things, then no matter what your results may appear to be, you're on the right track, at least, of being pleasing to God as a leader. But then the second thing I would say, and this is hard to hear, but leaders need to evaluate evaluate relentlessly how they're doing in accomplishing the mission they believe God has given them. By looking at how their followers are responding to their initiatives, what results are being achieved by their strategies and methods, and whether anything that's happening that is measurable in terms of real progress. Now, I put those in order because it's first of all important to please God and lead in a certain way. Second, to measure results and to measure those carefully. Because Jason, you and I both know there are some leaders who work hard for years and see only slight results, but then over a decade of time, those results start to mushroom. So you can't just in a short run say, well, we tried a program and it didn't work, therefore I'm a bad leader. You have to say, am I leading the way God wants me to lead? Am I implementing the strategies and methods he wants implemented? And are the people that are following me responding positively to that? If so, maybe the full results haven't come yet, but we see ourselves tracking in the right direction. So that's how I evaluate leadership. Am I doing it the right way, and am I achieving the initial right results of people following me, and then will the ultimate results come? And if they aren't, then I make changes along the way, but if they are, I just simply wait for them to come.
Well said. Let's tidy this up with one final question. What are some practical ways that pastors can improve their leadership? And as you answer that, please do plug a book or two of your own.
Well, of course, the first thing a pastor can do is enroll in a great seminary like the one you lead and maybe even the one I lead. But, of course, training. Listen, man, we're seminary leaders. Of course, we want people to get additional training. That's step one. Another thing you can do is to read quality material on leadership. And there's a lot that's written that's really sort of anecdotal about, you know, how I led and how you ought to do it. Stay away from that. But find more substantive books and substantive articles and substantive podcasts on the issues of leadership and pay attention to those. And then another thing, not only these training opportunities, but find competent leaders and learn from them. And these can be ministry leaders, but they can also be Christian leaders, for example, in your church who are leading companies or organizations or schools. Find out what they do and how they do it. One of the assignments I give in one of my leadership classes is for students to interview a prominent leader outside of ministry with a series of questions about leadership. And here's what my students have found. I tell them, ask for 15 minutes as a graduate student to do a brief interview. And in almost every case, they'll come back and say, the person gave me 30, 45, an hour because they love talking about mm-hmm. leadership and what they're doing. And I learned so much from listening to them, and I can see how I can apply that in my ministry setting. So get training. Read serious and good important work, and then find mentors, people you can learn from, and drain them dry of every insight you can get from them about leadership.
Jeff, we're grateful for you as a colleague, proud of you as an alumnus of Midwestern Seminary, and thankful for the time together on Preaching and Preachers. Thank you for being with us today.
Thanks very much for asking me.
Thank you for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, please visit my website, jasonkallen.com.